Happy New Year. We hope you had a safe and blessed holiday. Welcome to the first episode. That's right, the first episode of Boomer and the Millennial in 2024. And we're coming to you live from the stunning Half Moon Bay Resort in Montego Bay, Jamaica.
That's right, Armandi. Sun, sand, and 80 degrees in the middle of winter. Well, I tell you, it feels good. And in this episode, we'll revisit some of our most memorable moments of 2023. It was definitely a year to remember. So sit back, relax, and take a break from thinking about all those holiday bills you racked up. I know.
Yep.
And join us for another exciting episode of Boomer and the Millennial 2024. And I'm Reggie the Boomer.
And I'm Armandi the Millennial. And in 2024, we are thrilled to be back at it like a crack addict. This time, live from Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Jamaica, man. Don't worry.
Okay, yeah. Let's not. Look, this is not how we need to start 2024.
On my doorstep. Okay.
Okay, let's New Year's resolution. Quit.
Right,
okay.
Right. So we are blessed to be yet again doing a remote from Jamaica.
Yeah, if you guys remember last year, this time, around this time.
No, this is back in August. Yeah.
That we recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, I lied, guys. Yeah. That was, I lied. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, you know, kind of hard to keep them all together.
Yeah, no, it really is. So.
I hope that everyone had a safe and restful.
Yeah.
And hopefully not too expensive holiday.
Goodness, season. Inflation is crazy now.
Well, I mean, you know, but the president's taking care of that.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
How so?
Bidenomics.
You're lying. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Having inflation come down and unemployment come down at the same time, which
doesn't
normally happen.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. The price of eggs are still $6, but, you know, he's getting there.
It's wild, bro.
He's working on it.
Okay. Well, he needs to hurry it up because he's not doing nothing fast, so.
I know. Well, you know, that's something we have to look forward to. In 2024, we'll be on the election trail, if you will, talking a lot about politics coming up, and I really need that millennial vote to get us over. And I don't know, y'all are waffling, man. I tell you, but we're gonna talk about that over time. This time next year, we'll have the results will be in, and you know we'll either have Biden for a second term or.
Yeah.
We're heading to Canada.
That's hilarious.
If old boy gets in.
Well,
office.
You know, listen. Are you talking about Donald?
Yes.
Well, the Trumpster. I'll say this. You know, as a newfound resident of the great state of Colorado, we are not worried about that.
Oh yeah. Well,
he's not even on the ballot. Okay.
Well, for now, but. They'll probably put him on. But here's the thing. In Colorado, you don't have to worry about it because you're a mile high, literally and figuratively. So y'all wake up in November this November, go, what happened? There was an election? Really?
Oh, true.
No.
Okay, that's fair. Thing. That's fair.
You know, so makes sense. You don't have to worry.
Okay.
But in the words, in a line from one of my favorite movies, North Dallas 40.
Uh-huh.
About this Dallas football team. So this guy who Nick Nolte plays, this receiver, right? And so he's kind of on the outs with the ownership.
Yeah.
And so the ownership's looking around, man, and they've got this new great rookie receiver coming in.
Uh-huh.
And so he bumps into Nick Nolte, the owner, and says, he says, yeah, we got this new receiver coming in. He's really good. Then he says, he says to Nick Nolte, so do you speak Canadian? In other words, he was going to be playing in the Canadian football league.
That's funny.
So anyway, do you speak Canadian? Because I know that's not a thing, folks. I know that there's not speaking Canadian unless it's French.
But, oh, they got the worst accent, though.
You know, but, you know, we
sorry,
might be.
Sorry. Let me.
Don't be, yeah.
It
be,
depends. It's
yeah, we're talking about our new homeland.
The millennials know which Canadian accent I'm talking about. That's really annoying.
But. Yeah. So anyway, as we mentioned, we are live from Montego Bay, Jamaica.
Yeah, if you couldn't tell by the roaring waves that are in the background, which is perfect for this episode. I mean, we are back in the villa. Different villa this time, but this is a great. We're on an outdoor patio.
Yeah.
And beautiful view. Beautiful view.
I see a big pelican off on one of the rocks out there. I just saw it.
It's a nice sunny day. Yeah. Probably somewhere in the
80s. Wasn't it when we first got here? You and Nia got here a little later when it was sun. You brought the sun with you, but
you're welcome. We do what we can. Right. So
first 3 or 4 days, man, it was rainy.
Yeah. And, I'm glad we missed that.
Yes. So anyway, and if you noticed that our music, intro music, was a little different because we had a little Caribbean beat going on there for our intro music.
Got to throw that in there, right? You know,
well, don't worry. The Dangerfield Newbies are still part of our intro and outro music.
Uh-huh.
But, we just thought we'd bring a little different flavor.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Around. A little jerk.
Yes, just a little.
A little jerk.
So a lot of things going on. Your Aunt Regina's birthday is today that we're recording. And
so happy birthday, Aunt Regina.
Yeah,
absolutely.
By the time
yours
this
is coming up. Yeah.
Happen. I'm just getting to be an older boomer.
And then we got mothers on the tail end. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And let's not forget MLK Day. So we got a lot.
Yeah.
A lot going on this month.
Yeah.
And so we're really excited about getting back to it, getting back
absolutely.
At it.
If like a crack addict. Yeah, there we go. Yep. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
How was your holiday? How was your
holidays were cool, except for the fact that Nia got sick right before we were supposed to travel. We were supposed to go to Savannah for Christmas. Did not end up doing that. Ended up staying in Denver because Nia got sick maybe a few days before. And of course, the great husband that I am in sickness and in health, I was taking care of her. And naturally, as some would say, since the dawn of time, my loving wife.
You want me to kind of dig you out of this hole?
My loving wife, let's just say, might have passed something along to me, her sickness along to me. But she started to feel better, and then I kind of got it a little bit. I'm just joking about the dawn of time, everyone,
right.
So just relax. if you know what I was referencing. But yeah, so we spent it at home. Winston had a great Christmas. He got a bunch of toys.
Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah, we missed you guys too.
But then you surprised us.
Yes.
Because we didn't think you were coming.
Yeah, you guys didn't know we were coming here because you guys were here for New Year's.
Right.
And yeah, we just came a couple days later on. And so,
right. So
you know,
your mom got this. She was, she was a little upset. And I know we had a discussion because at one point.
Yeah.
Nia was kind of like, well, go be with your family. And we talked about kind of the two different layers of like
the dynamics.
Oh,
yeah.
Like,
well, Christmas would have worked out fine.
Yeah. But if you had gone, then she would have like said, I can't believe he left me and I'm sick.
Oh, you mean if it was just me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't about to do that. I was going to stay.
You're smart enough.
Yeah,
we had a conversation.
And then, I've learned a thing or two.
And then your mom would have said, I can't believe he left your wife. So
right, exactly.
There was no win.
Yeah, it was better that I stayed. And that way we were you know, both able to take care of Winston. We didn't have to pay someone to take care of him, which really worked out because the person that Winston really likes wasn't able to do it over Christmas, so it kind of worked out, saved us a little bit of money, which, you know, during the holiday season was very nice,
right.
And so yeah, but now here we are a couple days in paradise, and by the time you hear this, we will have been back in freezing cold Denver, Colorado. It's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's been okay, but
y'all heading out tomorrow.
Yeah, but it's getting bad, so it's getting colder.
One thing about 2023 is COVID hit the Hicks family. After 3 years of ducking and dodging, we all got it. Your mom got it finally. She was the last one to fall. Your Aunt Regina, myself, you.
Yeah, I got it this year.
You know, Nia.
Yeah.
Even though we were, you know, vaccinated and everything. But they said eventually you're going to get it.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, I was avoiding it for about 3 years and then just out of nowhere earlier, maybe like a month or two ago, it hit me.
I know.
Yeah, it was
rough. It hit me when we were headed down here the last time.
Yeah.
And I had to delay the trip for
so you didn't get it this year. You got it in 2022, technically.
No, I got it in.
Oh, I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm sorry. I keep forgetting we were here in August.
Yeah,
sorry, people.
We all got it in 2023.
Sorry, people. This whole year, 2023 was a blur.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
We're going to revisit some of my memorable shows during this year. Before we do that, I do want to congratulate Nia on her game.
Yes, absolutely. We haven't talked about that, have we?
Like, we want to do that real quick. You want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys, campaign. Yeah. So if you guys know, I've been talking about the fact that my wife made a card game called Known: Deep Questions, Deeper Connections, and so it's basically a card game that helps you get to know people. It's three phases, and in each phase, the questions get deeper. Really allow you to dig deep and learn things about other people, learn things about yourself and that sort of thing. So she created a physical card game, also created an app, and was doing a Kickstarter to raise money to produce the games. And so you could buy the game and that sort of thing. So, you know, with a Kickstarter, it's not like a GoFundMe. You either get all your money you set for the goal, which in this case was $10,000, or you don't get any of it. And by the grace of God and everybody, thank you to everyone who supported and bought the game or just donated. You know who you guys are. Don't worry, the game is coming. It's on the way because we went $700 over the goal. So we got $10,700. So shout out to my wife. I'm extremely proud of her. She has worked extremely hard on this project, and now we're in the process of production. But good news, people, actually, for those who might have missed out and wasn't able to purchase the game, while we are still having, and we will have extra physical games made, so people can just purchase them, and you don't have to wait. And everyone who donated and bought the game during the Kickstarter, you will get yours. It's coming. It's on the way. But Nia did have the app added to the Apple app store. So if you have an iPhone, you go to the app store, you type in Known Question Game, you should find it. Or if you type in Nia Stokes Hicks, you should find Known, and you can get the digital version for, you know, the small price of $20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But she developed the app herself and everything. It runs smooth. We've had a couple people here, you know, friends of Aunt Regina who are also on this trip, download the app and have been playing it. And, you know, so go support if you can. And then those who bought the digital app during the Kickstarter, we're reaching out. You'll get a discount code and everything to get it, so you don't have to pay the $20 because you already bought it. So
All right, I got to get my version.
Yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, I also got to get mine too, which, you know, so I can have it on my phone. But yeah,
but I would like a game when you get an extra.
Well, we'll get a physical. You'll get a physical one.
Yeah,
which is going to be nice.
Come out to see you guys, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Then. You need to come out and visit.
Yeah, well,
it's a good time. It's so crazy because everybody's trying to be in Colorado right now. Everybody wants to ski. And they just know that that's a place to do it. And for all those people who do not know, we live in Denver. So if you come to Colorado, you stop in Denver, let us know.
Well, I've been to Denver skiing. It's a fun trip. So
yeah, you know, come on.
Coming out and seeing y'all. I'm glad that. Oh, and by the way, we have the Kickstarter link still on the website. I know the campaign is closed, so we'll probably just have information about the app.
Yeah.
I guess where you can, if you want to purchase the game, you can do that as well. So we'll kind of update that on the website for you, and by all means, you know, when people invite. It's a great way to break the ice.
Yeah.
First date,
business meetings. You know.
You don't have to go too deep on the business meetings.
Yeah, you know, you can stick with level one if you want to, but, you know, friends gathering, girls nights, anything really. No, deep questions, deeper connections.
All right.
On the App Store, it's Known Question Game. Yeah, but you can, if you also, or if you type Nia Stokes - Hicks, which is my wife's name, it'll pop up.
Right. And we're still working on Google Play.
Yeah, we're still working on Google Play for all you lames that have Androids. Sorry. I'm just joking. But yeah, it's coming. It's coming eventually. I was joking about the it's coming. Don't worry. Yeah, never mind.
You would take you from the dark side.
Yeah, you know. It's okay. I'm just joking, guys.
Anyway, we as we mentioned, we're gonna kind of recap 2023 for you. Some of our memorable
Are we playing
shows.
Clips or are we talking about stuff?
Yeah, we're going to play clips.
Hey, okay, come on.
So here, before we get started, we thought it would be a good segue because we began the year with the Bulldogs. So
absolutely.
We're gonna just talk a little bit about what happened. 3 points away from going back.
Yeah, it sucks to lose to Alabama.
Yeah, but it also, there was some redemption with Alabama losing.
Yeah, 1,000%. Go Blue.
Kudos.
I would love to see them
to
win.
The Bulldogs.
Yeah, I mean, hey, great season.
Putting up 60 again in postseason.
Yeah, come on. The biggest margin in bowl history.
Bowl history, making a statement. Also, for those seniors, they are the winningest senior class in 100-plus years of Bulldog football.
Come on, Georgia.
Won 50 games. That senior class became the winningest class in history. And you know, it gives you an example of a team that was motivated and felt like there was something still to prove and to win.
Absolutely.
Versus a team that was just, you know, they were so decimated by not making the playoffs. And then when their quarterback went down, you know, and just getting, it was a consolation game that they didn't care. Half the team went in the portal, the other half declared going to the NFL. So they really had a third string quarterback. So it was just, they didn't come to play. They didn't care.
Yeah, and, we knew what we kind of knew what to expect. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be that bad.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad too. But you could see that they just didn't.
And you know, to have Carson Beck, the quarterback back for Georgia, come back next year, he's huge.
I wasn't surprised. I think with we got this running back from Florida, Etienne, has just always killed us. He's one of the premier running backs in the SEC.
Yeah.
So he's entered the portal and he's coming to Georgia.
Okay.
So I think Carson and then a bunch of receivers. Carson Beck.
Yeah. Come on, talk about him.
I'm just saying.
Come on, talk about him.
He came back because he's like, look, we got a shot.
We do have a shot.
And he has a shot
at winning the Heisman. We got a tougher schedule next year, though. So we'll see.
We have a crazy tough schedule.
But you know what? I'm so excited, though, because I don't know. The NFL doesn't do this for me at all. No other sport does it for me like college football. I'm sorry.
We did get in January to celebrate two things.
Yep.
A second natty.
Yep.
For the University of Georgia.
That
was
huge.
Just unprecedented.
Yep.
And also, Raphael Warnock was reelected to the Senate. Here's a little bit of what we talked about in January. Raphael Warnock, homeboy from Savannah, also a fellow Adam Smasher. He went to Saul C. Johnson High School, my alma mater. What is an Adam Smasher? I have no clue.
Why would you smash an atom?
Because
isn't that bad if you split an atom?
No, well, you know, they did split the atom back in the early 60s and when the school was built. And that was a big deal. There was nothing more powerful than splitting the atom. That's what happens with an atom bomb, right? Or, you know, now nuclear bomb.
You mean an atomic bomb?
Yeah. Well, okay. it was called an atom bomb.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But that is what happens.
I see.
That is how powerful splitting an atom is.
Mm-hmm.
So we would call it
so
atom
y'all just smash them.
That's right.
Y'all don't even split them. Y'all
just
smash them.
So you know how powerful it is.
Yeah.
That's why that's why our football team was like 1-10 every year.
That's terrible.
It is bad.
Yeah.
So it didn't, you know.
Well, I mean,
and you don't have a mascot when you have an atom. What is your mascot?
Exactly.
I don't even remember. We had like a dog or something that was called Adam something. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, so needless to say, shout out to Raphael Warnock.
Absolutely.
We couldn't didn't get Herschel in there.
Now the question is, where's Herschel? Where's Herschel? Because I hadn't seen him. Probably going back to Texas.
Yeah.
Because he never did change his address. He never did move. But yeah, I think a lot of people were asking me questions about that. And, you know, he still had a lot of votes. But he's back for now 6 years after running in 5 different elections. So he's cool for the next 6 years. Da-da-da. Da-da-da.
Oh, yeah, right. Da-da-da. Da-da-da.
And it's sports time.
Yeah, on a more positive note.
Yes. Yes.
So, how do you want to do this?
How about them dogs?
Okay, that's just what we're starting with. Hey,
Right. You know.
But
hey, he did it.
He did it. You got to eat a second hat. People were hitting me up. They were like, "Yo, you got to eat a second hat."
I know. I have to. But speaking of hats, let me tell you, I have.
Kenny, let me tell you something.
Last year, I got my hat embroidered after the win. This is my championship hat. On one side, I had champs 2022, but that was prophetic, if you think about it, because actually, when we won last year, it was for the 2021 season. We won in 2022.
This is true.
But this was for the 2021 season.
I didn't even think about that.
So I had already predicted it.
Yeah.
My hat. So for a whole year,
yeah,
I had 2022 champs.
So people were like, okay.
Yeah, right.
We'll see.
Yeah, right. Like, and so this time I had to get actually 20. That's right. So, well, he's pretty optimistic.
People were like, the season hasn't even started yet. Right. He's already got a championship hat. You know how hard it is to repeat?
I know. Not only that, I mean, you know, it's embroidered on the hat.
Yeah. So,
and the reason I noticed that was that if you go to the University of Georgia website, the Georgia bookstore, all of their things say 2021, 2022. They have combos for both years, right?
Yeah, it makes
sense. For both championships. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had to go back and get on the other side.
Yeah. Oh. Wow. Okay. I haven't even seen it since you've done that.
That's right. In Savannah, I went back.
Okay.
2021. Anyway, and to make it even more special, it was on my birthday. Mm-hmm. And we were in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And but needless to say, it was great because the game was never in jeopardy. We never, never. I mean, it was just how many people on the bench get to say they played in a national championship game? That never happens.
This is true.
You know, I mean, I could have played. They could have put me out there.
Maybe.
And I could have said, you know, hey, I played. Give me my ring.
That's facts. It's just crazy. What was the score?
65-7. It was the most. I mean, it was incredible.
Man,
what a way to really celebrate my birthday.
I took a shower in the middle of it. Like I was like, oh, I mean, I watched every second that I could.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was not going to miss it. Yeah, I should have put some money on that one, man.
Yeah,
I should have put some money on that one. I was joking that Stetson Bennett, he got his fade while he was out in California. And I was like, man, dogs by 50 if Stetson got the fade.
Got the fade.
And who knew that the dogs would win by 58? So could have said almost dogs by 60.
Yeah, almost.
Crazy.
Almost, yeah. So we're still celebrating. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah. Clearly, and, that's just
I mean, you know, that's just
the highlight of the sports segment. Yeah. Okay, yeah, there we go.
Yep, go dogs.
Go dogs. So, I mean, I guess moving on. In March, we had a lot going on. You know, we talked about, unfortunately, the death of our cousin, Tiana, down in Orlando, and that whole ordeal, and just sort of having to rally with family, with prayers and support, and especially, you know, my mom's out of the family down in Orlando and everything. And our prayers still go out to our family, and everything is, you know, we're still mourning the loss of our cousin. But
I think it also highlighted for us, you know, the gun violence.
Yeah,
on youth.
Absolutely.
Tiana was 9 years old. It made national news because several other people were killed, including a news reporter.
Yeah. Right.
But we did have an opportunity to discuss it and also to talk with my brother-in-law and Tiana's grandfather, Paul. Here's a little bit of that interview we had with him.
Yeah.
You know, we continue in our news segment, if you will, to address mass shootings. We just had one here in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. They're just happening, seems to be every day. And of course, our last episode we dedicated to our family member, Tiana Major, a 9-year-old who tragically lost her life in gun violence in Orlando. It was a national story because a news reporter was killed as well, including another individual. They did find a perpetrator. He's been arraigned. And we thought it would be good to continue to address this. You know, we've made this kind of an issue for Boomer and the Millennial this year. And so we've invited Tiana's grandfather, your uncle, Paul, and one of our biggest fans of the show, just to come on and talk to us about Tiana, to talk to us about what's happening now, how the family's coping. Thank you for being willing to come on. Everybody talked about, including myself, about a 9-year-old with a legacy, but she actually did touch so many lives, and that was that short amount of time. We'd love for you to just kind of share a little bit about Tiana. So people who are listening who know about the situation and what happened, but really may not know a lot about Tiana as a person.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head when you said she actually has a legacy. I mean, there were a lot of things that, as her grandfather, I didn't know about her myself. She was probably one of the sweetest little girls I've ever met in my life, and naturally I would be a little bit biased about that. Always have, since the day she was born, called her my sweet potato pie. And I didn't realize how apropos that was until they had the memorial at her elementary school, and you had the kids from her class come out, and each one gave their impressions of Tiana. All of them were positive, to say the least, but I think the most impactful one was when they read what her aspirations were for the upcoming, if she had made it to her adult life. And those were so profound. She wanted to make sure that every kid had something to eat. She wanted to make sure that the homeless had places to stay. This at 9 years old, she's thinking about other people. When at that age, I know me myself, I was somewhat selfish, if you will. It was me.
We all were, yeah.
So she showed a maturity, and that might be from being around older people, but she showed a maturity that you wouldn't find in most girls her age.
So in May, unfortunately, you know, our Mother's Day edition, yeah. We had another loss in the family.
Yeah, sorry, we're kind of being the middle part of the year was sort of
it was tough. With Tony, your first cousin Anita, your mom helped raise him, and Tony had spent so much time with us, and
he was like a brother to me. A long time.
So we talked about that a little bit, talked about Mother's Day and, you know, like you said, hate to be a downer, but we did have those two tragedies kind of happen very close together. Here's a little bit of that. You know, Armani, we were talking about people who follow us and are fans, and we do appreciate that tremendously. And one of those individuals was Tony. He really liked listening to the podcast. He would, from time to time, text me ideas and suggestions, especially around sports.
He was a big sports fan.
And an athlete. Yeah. And actually, you know, when Tony was your age, you know, he stayed. You were little, obviously, but he stayed with us. He was a part of family.
Yeah.
And
he was like a brother to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was. Shocking in a way. I mean, we didn't expect it, and we knew that he had issues with seizures, and unfortunately he didn't survive one about 3 weeks ago. But we celebrate him today and his children on Father's Day. He has two wonderful daughters, Anita and Tony, and a son, Anthony Augustus Stokes Jr. You know, everybody resides in Florida, and we'll be able to, you know, share memories and come together this weekend for the celebration of life. I know you and Nia flying to Orlando. So,
we get in early Sabbath morning. So and then actually fly out that evening. Unfortunately, we can't stay too long after work on Sunday, but we will be there. We will definitely be there, and it'll be good to see family
To just celebrate Tony's life. And, you know, like I said, he was like an older brother to me. So it's hard not having him with us anymore. You know, I think I'm still kind of processing it and everything. The news kind of came at a time where, you know, Nia's family was really mourning a loss and trying to be supportive and of her and her family.
Yeah, grandfather during passed.
Right, during that time. And then getting the news right before going to Memphis for that memorial service was very weird and a little tough. But I'm happy that we're making it happen to be able to be there. You know, he was at Nia and I's wedding. And so she was definitely like, if, you know, I can be there, I will definitely be there. So she actually has to travel for work this week as well. But she'll be back and then we'll fly to Orlando. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just keeping the family in prayer and just making sure we keep not only Tony's legacy, but also Tiana's legacy alive. As well. And so just kind of moving on to a lighter note, you know, for July, it was Father's Day. It was Juneteenth. Power to the people.
Absolutely.
We also, for the first time, went live on Facebook and YouTube while we recorded, which was also, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, we'll have to do fun that again.
And yeah, we will have to do that again as we grow our following. Hopefully we'll get more views. But yeah, here's a little snippet of our first and only live show of 2023. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Father's Day Juneteenth edition of our show. We are live on YouTube and Facebook.
And during this live edition, Armandi will update you on his West Coast connections and the ongoing writer strike, and we'll give you our generational take on politics, sports, and entertainment.
Unfortunately, our family suffered another loss. This show is dedicated to our cousin, or my cousin, Tony Stokes, who is also your nephew. So,
Anthony Augustus Stokes.
Putting that full government out there.
Right. And he's got your middle name, and that's the middle name of the Stokes family for three or four generations. And so we are dedicating definitely this show to him, and we'll talk about Tony in a little bit. But before then, I am Reggie the Boomer.
And I'm Armandi the Millennial. And, you know, we are back at it. Like a crack addict to all those people who are out there on live who got to hear it live.
This is Boomer and the Millennial, the podcast, live on Facebook and YouTube.
Live and direct.
Right. It will also be obviously posted, and you will receive a notification.
But if you're not in the live, then you're missing out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you haven't heard it here first, you would have heard it second.
So, that's right.
Just a little humor. Now let me stop.
You know what? I didn't have music, you know, with the Dangerfield Newbies, because I don't really know how to do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you'd have to, maybe you put it on the back end.
Oh, yeah, I will. But I'm saying next time I want to have it, you know, in our live feed.
Yeah. Okay.
So people can hear it. Yeah.
Listen, we're starting out. We're getting the feel for it. So the next time that we do this, it'll definitely be more planned out. And you know, we'll have all of our our
elements
and details squared away and all of that good stuff. So
let's
dive into it though. Happy Father's Day first and foremost to you, my father.
Thank you.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there.
And so, first time live on Facebook and YouTube, a wonderful episode. And then we went first time live from Jamaica.
Yeah.
We were able to go down on Sunrise Beach.
Yeah.
And enjoy the elements and the bugs and
The surf, we were in the sun.
And sand.
Yeah.
And everything. And it was hot.
It was hot. But not as hot as it is now, thank goodness. No, but
this is great.
Yeah.
But here's a little bit of what we experienced our first live remote out of the country.
Welcome to the end of the summer Labor Day edition of Boomer and the Millennial, coming to you live from the Half Moon Resort in beautiful Montego Bay, Jamaica.
and we have a lot to discuss. Armandi celebrates 1 year of marriage bliss, and the happy couple is on the move again, this time to the Midwest.
That is true. Trump and 18 of his closest friends visit the ATL. Football season is back, and my dad is still trying to finish a summer read.
That's right. Okay, and the Paramount series, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, ends on a musical note, as we discuss in the What We're Watching segment. All that and much more. So let's get to it. I'm Reggie the Boomer.
And I'm Armandi the Millennial, and we are back at it like a crack addict, this time from beautiful Jamaica.
Oman.
Oh, how did I just know that you were going to say that? I just knew the Mon was coming. See, that's why I didn't do a Jamaican accent, because for all of our Jamaican listeners, I'm not gonna butcher that. But just know I do it privately, just not on the podcast.
No, so. I get it. I couldn't help. You might be able to hear the waves in the background, hopefully, as we come to you under the palm trees. We got some pictures we're going to post on the website. But as we come to you live, as Armandi mentioned, from the Half Moon Resort here in Montego Bay, or as they call it, Mo Bay, Jamaica, at Sunrise Beach.
Yeah.
It really has been just a wonderful, wonderful time. This is our last day.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure we brought our little recorder and the mics and... Thought we'd try to do this remotely.
Yeah, we were determined to record an episode in Jamaica. So here we are on the last day. Better late than never, you know?
This is true. And we hope you enjoy this, our year, summer end, Labor Day special segment of Boomer and the Millennial. I don't know, what's been your best, you know, time here? What are you know, more memorable time?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like the whole time has been very enjoyable. Nia's parents were with us for a couple of days at the beginning of the trip before you guys got here.
Right, and, the in-laws.
Right, in-laws came. And that was pretty fun. We went on a tubing experience, which was very fun, and we were able to stay in the tube the whole time. They were really trying to knock us off. And the waves were kind of crazy, I'm not going to lie. We got airborne a couple times, but that was a fun experience. Also, just eating out with the whole family once everybody got here was also very enjoyable. Yeah. We've done that multiple times. And also, probably, you know, the biggest highlight was maybe going on the boat.
Yeah, we had that cruise.
Yeah, we had like a little like boat excursion, and that was really nice.
A three-hour tour. No, that's... from Gilligan's Island.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah.
For all you boomers out there, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there you go.
With Gilligan, the skipper, too. Okay, I'm sorry.
Goodness gracious. But yeah, that was pretty fun. That was probably the best experience since we've been here. But the whole thing has been enjoyable, so.
Yeah, and shout out to Regina.
Yes, shout out to Aunt Regina.
Yeah, for sponsoring this.
And hosting it.
And bringing the family together. It's been really... But hey, I enjoyed the boat ride. I mean, that was nice. And, you know, they have a barbecue here. Matter of fact, we can see the area where they have a barbecue every Friday night, which is really nice. They have dances and flamethrowers.
There's a couple times I thought he almost lit a tree on fire, actually.
I know, right?
We would have been talking about the fire of Half Moon 2023 for a second. But,
Yeah, but it's been nice. The weather's been nice. We've now really avoided two hurricanes. Franklin was to the west of the island and went north. And for those of you now, by the time, you know, this airs or we drop this episode, we would have experienced Idalia, which is the hurricane heading now to Florida. So we want to, you know, really pray for those that are in the path of the hurricane. And we're just hoping that everybody stays safe. But we've seen it develop, right? Right around the corner from us. But, you know, the weather here for the last couple of weeks have been just really, really nice.
Yeah, we did experience some rain a couple times, which is to be expected. But for the most part, the weather has been beautiful. It's been hot.
Oh,
definitely hot.
Yeah.
Humid. The sun has been blazing. Yeah. But, you know.
The water was warm.
Yeah.
Refreshing.
Absolutely.
And clear most days.
Yep.
Yeah, it was indeed a Jamaican vacation. Your mom and I had some travel over the holiday, over the summer rather. But
yeah.
You've been traveling, getting ready to travel.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, it's a lot going on, people. It's a lot going on. As my dad mentioned in the in the intro. Moving to Denver. Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
The Mile High City. And a lot of you might be wondering, Denver, that's pretty random. Well, you'd be correct. Yeah, it's kind of a longer story, but Nia and I were visiting, and she had a business trip there, and she was really falling in love with the Siggy, and I flew out there and for the weekend, and we were experiencing it together, and kind of just had a lot of things sort of line up. All right, well, you know, listen. Goodness, whew, it was so much hotter than it is now. But we had a great time in Jamaica. Shout out Aunt Regina and just everyone who was a part of that trip. Nia's parents were there. It was Uncle Paul and Aunt Judy got to come.
Right. It was
Tanya.
It was good.
And it was just a good time. So, shout out to Jamaica. And then in October, it was Indigenous Peoples Day. Sorry. We did an episode around that time. And we also were able to interview our cousins, Mark and Jan, as they were fighting to keep a railroad from basically coming through their land in their town in, what is it? Sparta, Georgia. Yeah.
Down in Hancock County.
Yeah, which is still, the case is still ongoing. And
Yeah. They just recently had a hearing in front of the Georgia Public Service Commission. The commission that pretty much regulates eminent domain, which is what the railroad is trying to claim as given a reason for being able to go through the property. So they had the hearing, and for those of you who've been asking for updates, I think we're looking for a ruling in February. We'll keep you informed of that, but it's just, you know, kind of ironic that we talk about Indigenous Peoples Day and talk about
encroaching
Columbus,
and
colonization, and the taking of
and
land.
And encroaching, on people's land.
And taking, because you're making no more land. So taking of land and how Jan and Mark really are fighting to keep that from happening. And the rest of their neighbors, too. I mean, it's a neighborhood effort that have come together in a lot of organizing work. It's enthusiastic to see them coming together to make this, you know, keep this railroad from coming through their property. So here's a little bit of what we, our interview with Mark and Jan.
Yeah.
But I think at this time we ought to bring on our interview.
I think it's a great time for that.
With Jan and Mark. I do want to, you know, kind of give folks who are listening who may not know about what's going on down in Sparta, Georgia, which is sort of, you consider that central or southwest or southeast, rather? What is it? Central Georgia.
Middle Georgia.
Middle Georgia. I know, Mark, you and I, we grew up together. You're my first cousin.
Yeah.
Because your mom and my dad were brother and sister. So I wanted to just give some context about the significance of the land. And Mark, this is a little bit for you, because I noticed in the CBS special that was done and some other articles and things about what's happening there in Sparta, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is that one of the highlights is the tractor that you still use. I mean, the tractor is, I don't know how old, but I just kind of wanted to talk about the context of what this land means to you and what it means to it being in your family. Because the tractor was 50 years old?
It's a 1946 model.
Oh, my goodness.
That was 78 years old.
Wow. It's amazing it's still running.
It is. But, but my father, he was a good steward of the land, of all of its equipment. And that's why we're still able to use the things that he had, including the old tractor. Now, the tractor, there is a story of where it came from.
Okay.
Daddy was stationed in Italy at the time. He was in the military stationed in Italy. And they had and it's like the GI Bill now. Mm-hmm. And the hot thing was at the time was agriculture. So Daddy, he put in his paperwork and qualified to get a piece of agricultural equipment.
Mm.
So he put it in and he was granted a tractor that came in right here in town at the Ford dealership. And my Aunt Gladys, who is still living, she's 98. She told me, because Daddy was still in Italy when the tractor came, when it came into Sparta. And my grandfather went to get it.
Mm-hmm.
He went up, and there was a lot of people there who wanted it. But here's Papa, black man, who had the paperwork for it. And they let him have it. And he brought it home. And I'm glad to say when he brought it home that he started to plow. And he plowed all night long. He was able to get done that night what it was taking them, you know, days and days and days to do with a mule.
Right, wow. Right.
So he got the tractor. And that's where the tractor came from. And that was in 1946.
Wow.
And we still have it now. It still runs. We use it.
So tell us about the land. I didn't know this because when you, when you're a child and you go and you visit, and we'll talk about memories in a bit, but you know, I just knew it was great coming to the country and hanging out with y'all and playing in the barn where the hay was and you know, just being in a whole different world, but not knowing that this land was in the family. I mean, what is it, 100 years now or close to 100 years?
Papa obtained this property in 1926.
Wow. So
97, almost 98 years ago when he got it, which is very unusual for a black man during Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
During the Jim Crow and during the Depression, that's when he was able to get this land. And of course, it's been a struggle through all of these years to hold on to it. You know, and that's why this is so amazing. Now we're here, we are 96 years later.
Wow. Yeah.
Still fighting to keep the land.
How did he come to get the land and back in the 20s? And
well, the story was that the land was for sale. Papa didn't have any money, but what he had was he had a green thumb. And so what he did, he leased the property, planted cotton on it. Now cotton was big. I know you've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
King cotton. So
he planted cotton on it and traded the cotton for the land. You know, and that's how he got this place. That's a long story there, how he did that, you know, and then, like I said, been able to keep it all these years.
I know that in one interview you talked about it, and as we talk about land and freedom even today, because as you mentioned, people of color, black folk in particular in this country, you know, ever since the 40 acre and a mule that really never happened. It was in the South, it was all about land. You know, in the North, it was about the right to vote. But here in the South, it was all about, during Reconstruction in particular, was all about land. You know, the trend now is that, you know, black folk owning land and in particular farmland are just, you know, that's, you don't see it anymore. I mean, it's every day, every year, someone is losing their property and the fact that you're able to keep it. But one of the things you mentioned that really stood out to me was that how this land and the property and where you are helped upward mobility, helped education, even today, right? Mm-hmm. With your children. Can you talk a little bit about how that land and success kind of go hand in hand?
Well, you know, with Papa, he was able to catapult his children forward through the property, you know, and just being able to make money with the property. It's a financial boom to be able to own, and it still is, to be able to own property if you're willing to work with it. What Papa did was he was able to help his children. You know, they didn't stay here. As a matter of fact, Daddy moved to, he moved to Rhode Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he moved to Rhode Island, and then he moved to Springfield, Massachusetts, and then he went in the military. Daddy didn't come back here until he was in his 30s.
I did not know that.
Right. He came back when he was in his 30s and he wanted to come back because of the land. He knew what he could do with this. Mm-hmm. Just like a lot of people did. And that's the reason that a lot of people are trying to take land too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they knew what they could do with it. They knew that they didn't want us to have it either.
Right.
But going forward though, even more happened. I know more about when Daddy obtained the land from his father. And I know you remember Helen and Beatty. They went to our private schools.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy was able to pay for all of that through the money he made using the land with timber, cows, growing vegetables, all these kinds of things. That's how Daddy was able to pay for that. Even Blaine going to school at Savannah State. And Jay Clifford, you know, he went in the Air Force. Jay was Jay's the flight engineer for the Vice President of the United States.
Yeah.
On his plane. And then he went on to be the flight engineer on the ambassador, the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the United States.
Wow.
He was on his plane. So Jay has a degree in aeronautical engineering. You know, all of these things inspired, that land inspired them to do things. Daddy encouraged them. He was able to help them because of that land. Mm-hmm. And Helen and Beatty, like I said, going to school too. They went on to college.
Helen was a dentist.
All of mom and daddy's children, right, have advanced degrees from what mom and daddy were able to do with that land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be able to help, you know, with money.
Yeah.
Right.
Like children's tuition.
Oh, and then even with us, you know, with the land with us, we've been able to use it with our children. Our children, you know, all of them college educated, you know, they all doing great things. And that's what land does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's been taken away from so many black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why, because they would rather, it's like the guy who wants to run the train now. He wants to take our generational wealth, for himself and for his children.
He pass his children,
wants to pass our generational wealth on to his children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they come up with all of this, with all of these reasons,
economic
reasons of what the land can do for the state and for the local economy and all of that. But none of that is true. It's a land grab. He wants to put it in his name. And I tell you, that really is insulting to have this land with his name strapped across it.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings us to where we are today. And I just kind of wanted to talk about the letter. I know the letter that you received from the gentleman from the Sandersville Railroad about what he wanted to do. And just to give some context, there is a quarry, and I've seen it, you know, thanks to Jan taking me down there. And it's a giant hole. It's kind of scary, man. It's huge.
It is. It's scary. It's in the neighborhood.
I'm like,
in the community.
Right. That can't be good for the environment. But anyway.
No. You can't do anything good about that.
Right. I'm a good ways from it. But I'm like, oh, my God, I can't get any closer to this thing because it is huge. It's scary.
Any closer.
But they want to build a train, a spur. They call it a spur, right? Through your property and neighbors, and to connect to the major, I guess, railroad artery in order to kind of bring this whatever there. What is it that they're mining?
Granite rocks.
Right.
And from asphalt. The quarry.
Mm. Yeah, and asphalt.
An asphalt plant there too.
Right. So they want to do all of that on this spur. And I guess when they came up with this idea, the first thing they did was send a letter out to everybody.
They sent us a letter and said that part of our land would be required for this project. And that
required is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Required is wild.
And that they would be coming on to our land to do surveys. And so I sent him a letter back and told him that they had no permission to come on our property like that. And he wrote me a letter back and told me he would use the sheriff's department to get on our land. He said that the state of Georgia gives him the right to eminent domain, which isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was an act of intimidation.
Right.
For us, you know, because most people, we don't understand eminent domain. We have come to understand it. Because when we first heard that, we said, oh, my goodness, I guess we just have to give it up, you know, until we learn better.
Right,
That he was being intimidating with all of the stuff that he was saying.
But what I want to interject this in Armandi and Reggie. When we got the letter, we received the letter April of 2022. This is how long this has been going on. This letter arrived. No prior phone calls, no knock on the door, no let's have a community meet and greet.
We still haven't had one to today.
This is what we want. And attached to it was a form letter requesting our mortgage company, if we had mortgage liens,
financial information.
This is the way it was introduced to us. Mm-hmm. No mention of eminent domain, no mention of we're going to purchase this property from you, just it's required.
Yeah, I would think that like if with something like this, the least you could do is show up at your door.
Right.
You know, to each person's, mm-hmm. you know, knock on the door, meet you guys and that sort of thing. I mean, like this sounds like it's coming out of an old Western movie. Like there's a tycoon that's coming, that's rolling into town and he wants to, you know, put the railroad in to make money. Yes. That's exactly like, you know, you're going to come on our land. Yes. I don't think so. Right. Like that is exactly what this sounds like, which is insane because, you know, it's been in the family for generations.
So we had a lot going on in 2023.
Yeah. So we had a full year.
The full year. Some tragedies, triumphs. We hope that you enjoyed the ride with us.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward really to 2024.
It's a lot of things happening in 2024, but I'm excited though.
Yeah. So we'll bring it to you and we hope that you tell your family and friends, subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
And send it on to other people you know. Thank you, Dangerfield Newbies. Even though we had a little Caribbean beat this time.
Yeah.
I want to thank the Dangerfield Newbies for providing music, the intro and outro music. So they're still the staple. They're still part of us.
Absolutely.
When you hear the music, you know it's Boomer and the Millennial. And don't forget to go to our website, boomerandthemillennial.com. Leave us a message.
Absolutely.
You can leave us a voice message.
Leave us some of your New Year's resolutions.
Oh, yeah, that'd
what
be
you,
good.
What you're, you know, what you hopefully have not already failed by the time that you
right. The time we have
listening
to
this
show.
Episode. Right. So
And we'll play them on the next episode, which we're already planning and then
we're
going
to try to be more consistent
Day.
This year, guys. Yeah. At least once a month.
Right.
Do you have any advice for the people for 2024 real quick before we leave?
Advice. I don't know.
Anything that you're living by in this new year that you know, would like to pass on to them maybe?
Yeah, well, I can say this. Don't be a squirrel on the highway of life.
Your favorite quote.
That is my favorite quote. And it was my quote. So if you use it, you can say you heard it from me.
Don't be a squirrel on the highway of life.
So that means
I feel that.
That means, you know, a squirrel gets in the middle of the road. The reason that squirrels get run over is because they can't decide whether to
talk to them,
stay, go the other way, go the direction they came from, or just keep going. And my advice is just keep going.
Okay.
Don't stop in the middle of the
bars.
Road.
Yeah.
Just keep on making it to the other side.
Yeah, because you might get run over.
There's maybe a big old truck heading for you while you're sitting there scratching your head going, what should I do next?
Or a little Toyota Prius. You never know. Okay, come on.
If you're a squirrel, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter as long as you make it across, right? Okay.
So what about you?
I don't know. Not too much. I will say this. If there's one thing that I learned in 2023, just with so many things that have happened spontaneously and that were not planned, it's hard for me to I know that 2024 will be unpredictable as well. So my advice that I'm living by is it doesn't matter how I go in to 2024 so much as it matters how I come out of 2024. So I may not be able to plan everything. I may not be able to control everything, obviously, and things will happen. There will be ups, there will be downs, but it's how I allow it to affect me and how I grow from these situations and how I embrace the good things and learn from the bad things. So, you know, that's my biggest thing is it's important how you go into 2024 as we start the new year, but it's even more important how you come out of 2024. So
okay, all right, great advice. So again, thank you for tuning in, for spending some time with us, for reminiscing with us and taking a look back at 2023. We look forward to all the things that we've got to talk about because there's a number of things we didn't get a chance to, but we will next month.
Absolutely.
So until then, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And
Happy New Year.
I am Reggie the Boomer.
And I'm Armandi doing the name. Sorry.
You want some Prevagen?
Yeah, take two. That brain fog. I'm Armandi the Millennial.
Okay.
And we're out.
And we're out. Peace.
Peace.